Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Welcome to day 4 of us at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. It's another beautiful day, even though I got caught in another downpour about half an hour ago. It's just off and on, really. Hi, Becky.
Hello.
How good are you feeling today?
So happy. I'm a completely different person to yesterday. Yesterday, I just said one-word sentences, and now I'm like, hi.
Yeah, I am obviously last to do my one-man show this evening.
Because you're the best.
Oh, God.
You'll be fine. Have you seen that text from Paula Nailsbury?
Oh, yeah. He says, don't forget, babes, 40 of those before you go on tonight and you will be fine.
It's very true. That's so true.
Brucey swears by it. I'd be doing more than 40, I think. 40 of those. Anyway, I hope you're right this afternoon.
That'll warm you up.
I think so. Now, we've got some guests coming up, which I'll tell you about in a second. And a welcome return to somebody that was in our musical, Scott Mills the Musical, last year, who you loved. That's coming up very soon. I still haven't got over the rickshaw experience from last night. Oh. This is awful. I don't know if you didn't hear this if you weren't listening to Grimmy's show.
Do we really have to mention this?
I think we should.
It looks bad on both of us. No one comes out of this story well.
No. So, Becky finishes her show. We have to get to here, which is the Pleasance Courtyard, which is probably on a rickshaw about, what, 3-4 minutes?
Yeah.
But we had to go and do Fresh Off Stage on Grimmy's show. So, we leave the three sisters on Cowgate. And there's a man outside going, do you want a rickshaw? Do you want a rickshaw? And we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be amazing because we need to get to Grimmy's show as quickly as we can. So we get in the rickshaw. It's all fine. Everyone's going, well done, Becky. Well done, Becky. It was a nice moment.
Yeah.
The people that came to the show.
We didn't think about it. It was such a nice offer.
Yeah. So then we get to the hill, the bottom of the hill, which leads up to here where we are in the Pleasance Courtyard. It's not a small hill at all.
So what gradient is it? It must be like 1 in 4, 1 in 3. It's quite steep.
But it's really steep. I mean, you get out of breath walking up it.
Yeah.
Okay? So this poor guy starts off at the bottom of the hill. It's all
you
fine.
You could see what was coming.
It's
it was
fine.
Like
you
one of those awful moments where you just sat at the bottom of the hill going, oh no, he's going to go all the way up there.
Then
I was breathing in. I was so embarrassed.
We're sorry we're not thinner. He's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. His legs are going
fine.
And going and going.
But we were going nowhere.
We weren't moving. There is cars going,
people were shouting, go on.
Go on, go up the hill. People laughing at us and pointing. It was just a humiliation all round.
He couldn't paddle up the hill because we were so fat.
And then...
He was trying so hard.
We're like, we'll get out and walk. No, it's fine. I'll make it. You won't make it. Let's just get out. We got out in the end and just ran off.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now we welcome back one of our old friends who was in our musical last year. He played Chappers. It's John Dryden Taylor. Hey, John.
All right.
Are you going to do the whole thing in character as Chappers?
Would you want me to?
We'd quite like some of it to be as Chappers, yeah.
Well, then I'll do some of it as Chappers then.
I thought you might be like Stifler's mum, who we had in yesterday, who is now really bored of being associated with the character, so we'd have to do the whole interview with you without mentioning Chappers at all, which would have been really awkward.
Yeah, we thought you were going to be a diva. But yeah. No, I'm not doing fake Chappers anymore. I've moved on. I'm doing Shakespeare now, darling. So what have you been doing since we last saw you?
Writing jokes for Mitchell Webb, who came in, I know, to talk to you about that. So we had the series, which has just finished. And, just getting involved with this show I'm doing up here.
Yeah, that's right. Because when Mitchell and Webb came in, we were talking to them about you, and they were saying you were quite busy working on their show.
That's
which
right.
Show is it that you work on?
I work with them on That Mitchell and Webb Look, the sketch on BBC Two, and also sort of on some other things here and there. So it's...
You see, Chappers isn't on the show anymore. That he went to the toilet on Christmas Eve and didn't come back, like one of the Sugar Babes. So,
has that affected you quite a lot? You're not getting so much work now.
Yeah, well, I've had to resign from my lookalike agency, and I've spent a lot of time sort of perfecting my hollandaise sauce.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, did you
say that was cutting?
Oh.
Poor Chappers.
Master Chef moment.
I couldn't work out which was the egg and which was the sauce.
This is a bit of John from last year when he was playing Chappers in Scott Mills the Musical. You can still watch it online.
Everyone has a word for me. Grumpy, miserable, surly, but the word that should be used, four syllables, misunderstood. They think that sport is all I care for, sarcasm is all I'm there for. But there's a secret they don't know. And now I've got to let it show. I just wanna dance. I just wanna dance.
Oh, even hearing that now brings back lots of happy memories for me. Does it for you?
Sweaty memories.
Sweaty memories, yeah.
It was hot in that costume.
Yeah, it really was. Similarly, with my costume from this year's show, I've had to hang it out on the line all day after Febrezing it to the max.
I loved it that you didn't put it in the washing. We've got a washing machine and a tumble dryer.
I didn't think about it until today.
Is it that sort of fabric that if you put it in the tumble dryer, it'll turn out like a children's one?
There's a lot of man-made fibre going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, John, are you going to come to my show tonight and have a look?
I certainly am. I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Oh, God. You see, when I hear that, and that was from the live show that we did last year, your voice is really good on it, and I'm just thinking, if anyone's expecting that level of singing tonight, then it ain't going to happen, because that's not what I do.
You just get the audience to sing along.
Well,
yeah,
the thing
it's not
is,
like
it's
no
ABBA
one knows
songs.
The words, is it?
Yeah. If you do get the free tickets for the show tonight, just sing as loud as you can. That's what I'm after, to drown me out. I have done some BVs, some backing vocals. But,
check you out. But, there I was, darling, in the recording studio, but, laying down my BVs.
But despite that, they're still a bit flat. So if you could just sing as loudly as possible. So what show are you in this year, John?
I'm in a musical with quite a lot of the people that worked on Scott Mills, the musical last year. So the director and the musical director are all involved. A show called Jump, which is at the Pleasance Dome every day at 2:05. It's a comedy musical about a man on a ledge outside a 10th floor flat and about the hilarious story of how he got there and how he ended up.
Doesn't sound that hilarious.
I heard you had a wardrobe malfunction today.
Yes, I did. There's very loud bottles going on.
I think someone's just dropped some bottles in the courtyard.
I have to jump, as the show suggests, off this like high level. And the very, very first scene, the entire back seam of my trousers just completely split. And I had to sort of make a decision between doing the rest of the show with my pants on full display or going and putting on some more unsuitable trousers.
Yes, so, John, but have you ever been in a rickshaw where it's had to stop? That's worse, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Apparently you've got some quite rude lines in this show.
I really do.
Is it a bit blue?
It is a little bit blue. Something for the dads.
Yes.
All the rude lines seem to be my one. So everyone else sort of gets to be sweet and sing lovely ballads, and then I come on and say something naughty, and usually people laugh, but sometimes people just sort of look a bit shocked and cross.
God, it must be rude then.
Oh, it is quite rude. It's 14 and over is the recommended audience, but it's a lot of fun. It's a funny show.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Just do a bit more chappers for us, would you?
What do you want me to say?
What can we get him to say? You can introduce the next song if you want, which is Usher.
This is Usher.
I've missed you, John. Oh, bless chappers.
Bless you. Someone has only just watched the musical online last night and says, R-A-D-I-O, tune. God, that was a year ago. I can't believe that was a year ago. But you can still watch what we did at the Edinburgh Festival last year online at bbc.co.uk/radio1. While you're there, do have a look at Becky's video. There's a brilliant picture on the homepage of her as Alan Carr. Click on Live and Loose at Radio 1 online. Thank you, John.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, John Bishop.
Hello, Scott Mills. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Very good.
So where are you playing in Edinburgh this year?
I'm playing at a place called McEwen Hall, which if there's any students listening to this who went to Edinburgh University, you'll know it's the place that you go when you graduate.
Is it?
Yeah, so posh. Posh.
So is it like a massive hall?
It is. It is. It's a big hall. It's got 1,000 seats in it, which is huge, but it's good. I mean, my first experience of Edinburgh was just below here in the cellar, which is a cellar, and I had 25 seats in there, and then I did the hut, and I've gradually progressed to a room now.
Yeah,
a proper
whole room. And when was your first Edinburgh then?
This is my sixth one, so it'll be about 7 or 8 years ago.
Right, okay. So you're in a big, big venue now. You're huge. You're doing some arena shows later this year.
I am. Well, to be honest, I came up here and, like, I've got the tour going on. We had the telly series. And because this is a big room, we thought that would sort of satisfy demand. But we've put some extra shows on. They've sold out. So we've put some more on now over Sunday afternoon. Because I can't get home and watch the match. I might as well do a gig.
Now, Becky did her first ever gig last night.
Yeah,
obviously.
How did it go?
I think it went all right. They laughed a bit, so that was good.
Well, laughed a bit enough.
Yeah,
laughed
exactly.
A bit enough.
Now, John, do you decide who supports you on your tour?
No, Scott, you decide.
You That's decide. What I'm getting to next, just because, I mean...
Oh, don't say that.
You know, if you've got any support slots going,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we're after here, really. Becky did her first gig last night. We're all going out of our comfort zone. I've got to do mine tonight. Mine's
what,
the last
what
one.
Are you doing?
I'm doing the story of the Bourne Identity to the music of ABBA, of course.
That's not a gig, that's an experience.
It certainly yeah. is.
It's, that it will be.
It will be. Okay.
Who came up with that idea?
I think it was a mixture of about six ideas that we all put into
no,
one.
No, that was a mixture of six Zambucas came up with that
Yeah,
idea.
It was devised in the pub.
Seemed like a brilliant idea at the time, but that was when it was months away. And now look, and now it's tonight. I'm so nervous.
Where are you going to be?
We're in a small little venue called Maggie's Chambers, which is near the Three Sisters on Cowgate.
Oh, good stuff.
And
good stuff.
Yeah, it's not big, but I mean, you can see them. They're very right up close to
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
so.
And it's very well known for its ABBA contingency in
yeah.
there. Yeah.
All the big fans of ABBA will be in there tonight.
Over there.
Now, Becky did a kind of comedy tribute, so she just pretended to be other people, other stand-ups, and did all their jokes.
Yeah, you don't really get that in comedy, do you? It's like with bands, you get tribute acts all the time, yeah, but yeah. I don't know of many kind of tribute comedians who basically just do dress up as the person, try and do their voice.
No,
and
there is someone, actually, who's a tribute Peter Kay act, and a couple of years ago, I was asked to do a sportsman's dinner, and I almost had the book, and he said, no, we've decided to go with Peter Kay. I said, are you joking? He said, well, it's not really Peter. We've got a tribute Peter Kay.
Oh, my God.
I got bumped for someone who's not even the person they were trying to be.
So there is money to be made in this.
Yes.
This is good news.
That's
but it depends. It depends who you were trying to be a tribute of. Were you Michael McIntyre last night? Did you wobble your head?
Yeah. I did lots of hair flicking. I was so posh.
Let me just play you this.
Hello, Edinburgh. Nice. I'm Michael McIntyre. And I'm walking from left to right because it's really exciting to be here tonight. I'm walking, I'm still walking, I haven't done anything yet, and you're all laughing at me. This is brilliant. This is good news. If I flick my hair a few more times, I might get some more laughs. Am I posh enough for you, Edinburgh? Am I posh enough for you?
You see, palm of the hand.
That just shows how good Michael is. He can still be funny when not even being the same sex.
Yeah.
So if Becky becomes a success, maybe I'm jumping it a little bit, but if she's becomes really good at stand-up, because you've progressed from like little rooms
here.
How will her life change?
Oh, massively. The first thing that'll happen is you'll grow a penis. Oh, I forgot this is live.
Yeah, we're live.
That's not swearing, that's just anatomically correct.
That's right.
No, what'll happen is... What'll happen is people expect you to be funny all the time and then invite you onto radio stations at the wrong time of the day and you'll say inappropriate things and they'll never bring you back.
How many dates are on your tour?
Dates on the tour, well, again, that's expanding, to be honest. I don't know. At the moment, I think there's about 100 dates because the first part of it up to December is sold out. And then because we've got a DVD out, there's going to be another little push. So... it goes on until June. So
I'm
going
to have to get used to spending a lot of time in like Holiday Inns and travel lodges and stuff, aren't I? A lot of time away from home.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of time on your own, rocking in the bath.
Do I get many groupies or not?
Do girls turn up at every gig and offer themselves to you?
How many women am I going to get, John? Come on.
How many women? Well, yeah. To be honest with you, in my head, you'll have loads.
Yeah.
So because you're on the road so much, do your friends call you anymore because they never see you? You're like, well,
he's not coming out anyway. No, you do miss out on a lot of things because obviously when there's stuff that people are getting married and weddings and parties, they're always over a weekend when you're working. But no, what happens with my mates is they phone me if they see me on the telly or they think I can get them tickets for something. Beyond that, no.
No.
To be honest, I've had to say to them, look, you know, I'm on the Scott Mills show. We're not friends anymore. I've moved on.
Yeah. You're so more showbiz now, John.
Oh, exactly. You're so more
changed.
Showbiz now. I'm not even going to talk to my own kids anymore.
So it'll be a life of travel lodges. You can eat all the free shortbread, though. Yeah, yeah. Loads of that.
Yes.
Really yeah. good. Tea and coffee making facilities.
Exactly.
It's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you can have a ride. So when you turn up at gigs, you can just
demand
stuff.
Oh, what's on yours?
You know what was on mine? I turned up at these gigs when I was on my last tour. And every gig I turned up to, there were 6 towels in the dressing room. And I thought, it's like a wedding present, 6 towels, isn't it? I said, well, why is the 6 towels? And I asked at one of the small art centres that I was doing. I said, why on earth have I got 6 towels? And he said, it was the only thing on your rider. Who wants 6 towels? So I phoned my promoter. I said, why is the 6 towels? And he said, oh, we've left it from a band. I said, well, you left the towels, you removed the bourbon, you removed the dancing dwarfs, you removed all of that, but left the towels.
Lots of love for you on the text on 8119. It is true, you've got, like, just judging by the text, there's a big female fan base there, John.
I know,
a lot of people, because we're live on a webcam as well now, you see.
Oh, I see, I'm liking that, Well, this changes the atmosphere a bit, doesn't it? It's been a while since we were in this situation. I know, well, it's odd as well, because I did Skins and stuff. There are teenage girls who come over, but the thing, I've got teenage boys as sons, and I thought it was going to be awkward. But it's interesting now, because when I've been up here, you get girls coming up saying, can I have a photograph? So my sons will be saying, oh, yeah, I'll take it for you. And then they take the pit and go, oh, yeah, he's actually me dad. And what's your name? And then they go, oh,
so. Have you had any weird shows in Edinburgh? Like strange things that have happened while on stage or just random stuff that happens in the streets because there's so much going on?
It's mad. Over the years up here, just about everything's happened. I've done gigs where people are stripped naked. I've done gigs where there's been fights. I did one gig, though. I used to host a show called Late in Live, which starts at 1 a.m. and ends at 5.
Yeah, because when we were out the other night, somebody came around with a big board of what was on Late in Live. It's like 4 o'clock.
I know, finishes at 4. And I used to host it, so it just got madder and madder. And I used to have a drink every now and again when I was hosting it. And you get, because you have to, because they're a raucous crowd. And I walked on one night and said, hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Sean Bishop. I'm from Liverpool. And someone shouted out, are you in bread? Which I just thought was, how bad an insult is that? So I just laid into this guy, calling for everything, calling more. I just went berserk. And he went, no, I meant, are you in the programme, bread?
Off the ages.
Sorry, mate.
And you completely slaughtered him on stage.
I can't tell you half the stuff. In fact, I can't tell you 99% of the stuff I said.
We're having a problem with that, you see, because people are coming in and I'm like, so tell us your best Edinburgh experience or tell us what's on your on your set. And they're like, nah, I can't. Not at 10 to 5 in the afternoon.
I know. It's one of those things, isn't it?
Bit blue, is it, John?
No, I mean...
We're trying to bring the term blue back
My set's quite normal, quite straightforward, but
what do you talk about?
You know what I've talked about this year, which is quite odd, is because this year's been so crazy. It's been the oddest year in my life, going from like a small room around the corner down there, the Cabaret Bar, which is 150 seats, to doing the McHugh and all, and then worrying whether that would sell out, and then having to put extra shows on and all of this stuff. So I just talk about what's gone on during the year, because I've no other life. I've only got this one, so I can only say what's happened during this year, because that's what you do when you're a comedian, just walk around hoping something funny happens to you.
Yeah. And it does, generally.
Most of the time. Yeah. Or that's the only tip I'll say to you as a comedian. Go out. Don't stay in and hope something funny happens. Go out and bump into people every now and again. And if you see anyone who looks like a clown, follow them, because something funny will happen.
Today, I was in a cafe, right? And you know, because there's so much stuff going on here. I mean, if you've never been to the Edinburgh Festival before, literally, there are thousands of shows.
It's crazy,
it's
yeah.
incredible the amount of stuff that's on. You can't get your head around it. I was in a cafe just having a coffee earlier, and this couple were having an argument. They were quite posh, I would say late 40s. And he was going, but Jane, you eat cakes all the time. And she was going, no, I don't. That's a ridiculous thing to say. Properly overacting. I'm thinking, is this just an actual marital argument, or is it a performance in a coffee shop? People were moving away from them.
You it's just so don't know. You don't know the sense of what's real or not. And also, when you come up here, you think, where did the rest of these people go for the rest of the year? Because I was in a pub on a Wednesday night, and there was a bloke in the corner with a face painted like a clown and a top hat on, having a pint, and nobody said anything to him.
You can wear what you want when you want.
I mean, where do you live with a top hat for the rest of the year? You must think, I can't wait till August. I'll fit in again.
The Scott Mills Daily.
As we welcome Showstopper. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Bling. Right, so can we have who you all are, please?
I'll start. Okay, I'm Dylan Emery. I'm the writer in the musical.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Adam Megiddo. I'm the co-creator of Showstopper.
I'm Ruth Bratt. I'm one of them.
I'm Andrew Pugsley. I'm another one of them.
I'm Duncan Walsh Atkins. I'm the musical director.
And finally, on the far, I'll do it because on the far side, our clarinetist who's been muted.
No, he doesn't speak.
He doesn't speak. He
is
can't
he
speak.
The one that doesn't speak in your show?
Yeah, every good show has someone who doesn't speak.
That's right. Every good show has. Yeah, that's right. Like, we've got one here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult to get information out of him, but he's a lovely chap.
Yeah, and I bet he's good on the clarinet as well.
Oh yeah, he can honk a horn.
Now, your show in Edinburgh, well, generally, is a different show every night, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you improvise a musical for people.
Yes, we take suggestions from the audience and we ask them for the themes and the title of the musical, where it's set, and then we will make an entire musical up from scratch in an hour and 10 minutes.
It's good, though, because it is different, obviously, every single night. What are the best concepts that people have been coming up with recently?
Edinburgh's been great, actually. People have been really nice. We had a really good one, Retired Superheroes. That was good when we had, in fact, Andrew Pugsley's here. He played Mr. Microwave against Dr. Disco, his evil nemesis. That was a sort of a slightly sillier one.
That's good.
Mafia Mia. Which was a sort of ABBA-style mafia one. We had others as well. Ruth?
We've had various political ones as well, haven't we?
Yeah, like
Big
ones.
Society, lots of stuff about the Big Society.
Yeah, David Cameron.
Dragon Slayers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Atlantis as well. We had a grand Atlantis tragedy. That was very good as well. Also, we've done some special ones with some critics coming in. We had Kate Copstick, who's one of the big names here for reviewers, and she wrote a review of a fictitious musical, which she read out at the start of the show, and then we did it, and it was insane, but it was lots of fun. Yeah.
Wow. Very, very good. Now, you know how I like a musical, normally about myself. So if you could make up something for me, that would be amazing.
Okay, oh, we'll very happy to do that. Now, you're doing this show, The Bjorn Identity, right?
Tonight, yes.
So we thought we were going to put our bit forward for your hit song. You're using ABBA numbers, so we thought we'd... imagine if ABBA had written a song specifically for this show, for your show. We're going to see we're going to create that for you if we can. So, but you need to give us something. So, what is your particular character, your version of is it called Scott Mill? Are you playing yourself?
No, I'm Jason Bjorn.
You are Jason Bjorn. Now, give me three adjectives to describe the incredible Jason Bjorn.
He is
orange.
Orange. Excellent.
He is...
Easy to rhyme, thanks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thanks for that, Rob the Boss. What else is he? He is...
Is he sexy?
He looks quite sexy in the post.
He is, yeah. I didn't want to say that about myself. I was holding back there, but yeah, he's sexy.
On behalf of the nation, I can say you're looking damn sexy in that poster, Scott.
And camp.
And camp, right, excellent. So sexy, camp, and orange.
Yeah.
So this is the amazing, I don't know if it's the same plot, but Amnesiac Killer.
Same, yeah, same.
Okay, fantastic. Who is sexy, camp, and orange.
To the music of ABBA, that's the show.
Exactly, to ABBA. And let's see if we can get a hit show going. Duncan Walsh Atkins, take it away.
Sexy and orange, deep like a tan. He's almost a Jaffa Cake man.
Sexy and orange, looking real cool. He's the one who'll make all the other spies just look like fools.
He may be camp, but he's on form. He's sexy Jason Bourne.
Bjorn.
Maybe camp, but he's on form. Sexy Jason Bjorn.
Jason Bjorn.
He may be camp, but he's on form.
Sexy Jason Bjorn.
Looking out for the bad guys, with a touch of camp.
Camp. He's gonna erase them from this land.
Taking on the bad guys, one by one, till they've all fallen down.
He's gonna take them, cause he's so orange and brown. He may be camp, but he's on form.
He's
sexy Jason Bjorn.
He may be camp, but he's on form.
He's sexy
Jason Bjorn.
incredible. Can I ask you a question? Are you all renting a house together at the moment?
We've got two houses between us mostly. So
because there were some people in our in the back garden next door to us last night when we got in about midnight, and they were singing, and it was, they were incredible singers like yourselves, and they were singing some very rude words about somebody called Amber. Was that you?
No.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
Just, okay, cool. I just wanted to know. They were just having some kind of party, and they seemed to be performers. Do you know what I mean? They had good voices. I just wonder if it was you.
Who were keeping us up all night.
Yeah, it might have been them.
Could have been them.
Could have been them. They were loud.
Oh, that was great. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah, no problem at all.
That was lovely. Oh, there's a little baby.
That's our youngest member.
Yeah. Yes, in training. Showstopper in training. There's Imogen.
Yeah. Guys, where's your show? Where can people catch it?
It is at the Gilded Balloon, the debating hall at the Gilded Balloon. It's at 10:50 p.m. Every night. And we've got a matinee happening next Tuesday at 3 p.m. if people want to get it. That's pretty much it. It's kind of selling out fairly well, so please buy tickets early to not be disappointed.
Lots of people loving the Cam Jason Bjorn song. Just completely made up at the top of your head. It's quite interesting to watch you guys and how you can read each other. It's really quite interesting. How do you do that?
It's all in the eyes, really. If you have eye contact with someone, you can kind of, they can give you a signal that they're going to finish singing. Yeah. And then you go, oh, well, then I will take over.
Or, no, you know. It's me. Yeah.
No, it's not.
And lots of practice and getting
lots
to know
practice,
each other. So
yeah.
You start to kind of guess where someone might go because you kind of know them a bit.
Yeah, okay. Have you got another song?
If you want, we could do one.
I'd love that.
Do you want another one from your musical for tonight?
Why not?
Okay.
Another one about me. Go on.
Go on, another one about you. Okay, let's change it up a bit. Is there a tragic love story at all, or any kind of love story?
There is a love story, yes.
Okay, can you just... what's the lowest moment, then, between you and your lover?
When I have to send her away.
Ah, excellent.
And say goodbye.
Good. Now, why do you have to send her away?
Because I'm no good for her.
Quite right. Because you're orange and sexy, or for other reasons?
Because it's too dangerous.
Ah, because it's too dangerous.
I just had to ask the one that doesn't speak because I couldn't remember.
Yeah, he's good. He mimed that very well. So, okay, so you have to send her away. Can you say what her name is? Are you allowed to? Or if not, you can make up another one.
I don't think I'm allowed to.
Fine. Okay, so it's the mystery woman that Bjorn falls in love with has to be sent away.
Because it's too dangerous for her.
Oh, too dangerous. Brilliant, okay. Give me a musical that you love, like a big epic musical.
Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone?
Absolutely.
It's the best one ever.
It is. So we will try to do this this grand,
I thought that was
tragic
everyone's
song.
It is now.
Yeah, we're convinced. Okay, a grand tragic love story about the time when Bjorn has to send away the woman that he loves, the mystery woman that he loves, in the style of something from Joseph.
I'm sorry, but you have to go. I'm sorry to send you away, but know I'll be here with my coat of many colors, shades of orange and orange and orange.
I'm sorry that I have to go.
Here comes the jailer. We only have a moment.
Make way. Stand back. This is a love that could never be. Jason, you must go. There's no space for you here.
So
close
the door, turn the key, no more of me.
Beautiful. That is amazing, as always. Thank you very much, Showstopper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We are coming to you live from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, and Stephen K. Amos is here. Hello.
Hello, Scott Mills.
You
How
okay?
are you?
I'm very good. Now, we met on Sunday when I first got to Edinburgh, and we were doing a show which has been on for like 100 million years on Radio 4 called Just a Minute.
Yes, 100 billion years.
And we've both been invited on it. And what happens is, if you've not heard it before, you get given subjects and you have to keep talking for as long as you can on that subject. You were on before me.
Without hesitation, deviation, or
repetition. So you can't repeat yourself, you can't go off the subject, you can't hesitate. It's really hard.
It is very hard. And also, neither of us had done it before.
No, you were on before me and were brilliant. And I was spectacularly awful.
I wasn't brilliant. I mean, you were okay, but
I wasn't.
That's being nice.
I've got some clips here to prove that I really wasn't.
Oh, really? It was very nerve-wracking because A, it was outside, and B, that the host Nicholas Parsons has been doing it for so many years.
He's presented it for 75 years, so he must be like 170 now.
He's 175.
Is he?
Yeah, I went to his birthday party.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday for me. Was that the other day when you were all having dinner with them?
That was the other day. How extraordinary was that?
Wow.
It was so surreal.
What a ripe old age he's lived to, isn't he?
And he had so many stories to tell.
Did he?
Regaling showbiz stories. I was asleep. No, I'm joking. And obviously Paul Merton, who's been doing it for 20-odd years.
Yeah. It was very scary. Okay. Do we have to play one of my clips now?
Yes, please.
Okay, right. So here is my first subject.
Scott, you have 17 seconds. Try and tell us something about the life and times of John Prescott, starting now.
Why did you choose John Prescott?
I didn't choose that was given to me.
Oh,
because it was somebody
else's
one, and then I had to continue.
Oh, I thought it was like specialisms where you said all the subjects you were good at, and then you did the repetition.
Even though I don't know Scott that well, I can pretty much guarantee John Prescott not hardly any subject list.
Yeah.
Have you got what you said?
Yeah, here's how badly I did.
John Prescott is a man who got water thrown over him by Chumbawamba at the Brit Awards in 1998. He also got egged by a man in Wales.
Oh, no! Awful.
That was very poor.
One of the panel seemed to like me more than the other lot, though.
I'm new.
Yeah, of course you are. That's why you're so attractive.
I know.
Is that Giles Brandreth of The One Show?
Of The One Show, yeah. He said, you're new, and that's what makes you so attractive.
Did you swap numbers?
No, we didn't on that occasion. No. Here's my next subject.
The subject is youth slang.
Oh, okay. You should have been good at this.
That's what you would think. Youth slang was my subject on Just a Minute. Here's how badly I did again.
Youth slang is used by young people, and they say things like LOL, LOL, which means laughing out loud. Another word...
I got buzzed again, you see? The hesitation was there. Anyway, that was bad. But you went back on it, didn't you?
I went back on it to...
you got invited back, unlike me.
Oh, no, that was kind of a mini kind of a thing just to show the people a few snippets of what they do. But they did the actual recording of the programme, actually in this very building that we were in Edinburgh, in the courtyard. And I wasn't very good then because they were very, very competitive. Because they were being very nice to us when we started.
Yeah, I was still rubbish.
You know,
yeah.
And yes, Scott, you were terribly bad.
Now, you seem to be having a fabulous time in Edinburgh this year.
Hello. That's no business. Yeah, it's great. I'm having a real good time.
Why are you having such a good time this year?
Do you know why? This is my 11th or 12th Fringe in a row consecutively. And I started in a small venue, you know, a 45-seater venue, and struggled as you do, but kept coming back. And now in a massive room, 940, is about 800 people, and they come. And I don't do Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm not worried about reviewers coming in to judge me, because my reviews are the people who come in and laugh when they leave.
Do you have any guests on your show?
Not on this show, no. Although there is a twist at the end.
Is there?
Something happens at the end, yeah.
So some people walk on at the end?
Yeah, possibly, yes.
Maybe not people.
Maybe not even people.
How exciting.
It is very exciting. Wow. So you have to come and see it. It's really quite surreal.
And where are you on at, please?
I am on at the Pleasance Grand, which is by the courtyard, one of the main venues up in Edinburgh, at 9:40 p.m. every single night.
Okay. What's been the weirdest thing that's happened to you so far this year? Not just in your shows, everywhere around Edinburgh.
Oh, everywhere around Edinburgh. Oh, well, that's quite a few, actually.
Yeah, I know.
There's a very, very famous, very funny comedian up here from America called Reginald D. Hunter.
We had him on yesterday.
Did you have him on yesterday? Yeah. I don't know if we're actually in the same venue. And I was walking in into the building as his audience were coming out. And for those who don't know Reggie Hunter, he's a black American comedian, looks nothing like me, sound nothing like me. And as I was walking past his audience, four lads walked past me. And as I got past my ear, one of them went, "Oh, that's the one we wanted to see." And I was like, "Did I really hear that?" And I sort of turned around as if to say, "What you talking about, Willis?" But I didn't say that. I resisted. But I've had so many other strange encounters. I've had people come and say, people come and ask me to tell them a joke in the street. Mm. And because it's not, no, not really.
Because you're one of those people that you will go out after the show and, you know, relax a bit, will you?
I don't think there's any comic who, unless he's got his family here, you know, you're on that high, that buzz, the adrenaline's flowing through your body. And normally people go and do other gigs after their own shows. I'm doing a daytime talk show. I've taken over from Frank Skinner at 12:30 every day, and so I can't go out and go up and get a bit too overexcited,
right,
as it were.
So you have guests on that?
We have guests on that, yes.
Didn't you have Stifler's mum on from American Pie?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we had her on yesterday.
Really?
Well, no, thanks to you, because we had a tip-off about what she was like on your show and how it didn't go down too well when you talked about Stifler's mom, did it?
She wasn't enjoying that. So we made sure we didn't mention that she was Stifler's mom.
We just got loads of stiff references in, so I kept saying,
"But you need a stiff drink before
stiff.
That show."
I was scared stiff. She was facing some stiff competition, wasn't she? Yeah. But then we got really scared of her because we didn't want to do any more. We were worried might do.
Well, also, she's like, you know, she's of an American kind of sort. I mean, she's really, she's like an Amazonian woman, you know, like 6 foot something with these massive heels and the pout.
I was scared of her. Really scared of her.
But we had Stephen Berkoff on as well. Now, he scared me.
Why?
You know, he's got a reputation as, you know, being a grand actor. I don't mess around. I'm the sort of man who'll attack a critic. And he was absolutely wonderful. He just was regaling stories of his years in Hollywood and his years writing and acting, physical theatre. And this is just a wonderful example of an East End boy done good.
Yeah. And so the show's obviously going very well. You're very busy.
I'm very busy, very excited by it. I'm also doing a couple of things for the television festival, which starts next week, doing a little quiz for them called Guess Who's Coming for Breakfast, where we're getting five commissioners and producers to partake in a quiz, but they all have to be trained up to do stand-up.
Really?
Yeah. So it's our turn to judge them.
I've got my show tonight. I'm doing the Bjorn Identity.
Oh, God. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Why?
Because I've never done anything like this before.
Have you rehearsed?
Yes.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing, but that won't stop me being really nervous.
Well, if you can incorporate that into the show, remember that the audience have come to see you and want to see you have a good time. So if you do mess up, right, just incorporate it.
Okay.
Just pretend that you're at your own house, in your own living room, and they're all your friends.
That is a really good piece of advice.
That's what I would do.
All right. So if I mess up a bit, like, just kind of include it in the show.
I would acknowledge it.
That's
absolutely.
That's what I did last night at mine. And some people said I did it by mistake. Because I did it by mistake because I was so scared. And some people said those are the funniest bits. Like when I made the accidental rude joke when I was in the panic room.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, and the accidental rude joke.
Yeah, everyone said that was the funniest bit, my innuendo.
Stephen, I won't keep you. Thank you so much for coming in. I know
thank
you're a very,
very
busy man.
Very
Stephen
much
K.
Indeed.
Amos,
thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.